Yes, I can now see it. Yeah. All right. Good day, everyone. Let me just recap. I was actually talking about my day, but I started talking about my day in order to talk about the topic we're talking about tonight. Unity. I left home at about 1:32-ish, thereabout, because the office called and asked me to get into the office to sort some things out, which I dealt with. First, I thought they were very out of order because I'm on leave. But then, looking at it, I thought, you know, you deal with it out, so you might as well best go in and sort it instead of it going sort the wrong way and look bad at you. So I went in. But on the bus going in, it was a long trek because the bus just, I don't know what was happening. It was just taking ages to go through one supply, three changes, four changes before I get in. So I strike up a conversation with a lady that was sitting beside me, and she was very, oh, you know this, and trying to talk. So I said to her, what would you consider if I say to you, unity? And she said, you and I coming together. And I thought that was the strangest answer from a stranger, call it that. Because you and I coming together would be more like you and a friend. But then when she explained herself, she said, you cannot be a unity with only one person. Do we agree with that? You cannot have unity with only one person. Anybody? Hello?
Yes, I agree with you.
I agree.
Yeah.
You cannot have unity by yourself.
No.
There can be no unity with just you. You are just you. And for mm-hmm. you to unite or to have unity, it must be an agreement or an understanding or a relationship that is considered going in the same direction between two persons or more. It can be two persons or more. So I thought her answer was very spiritual, even though she didn't strike me as a spiritual person because she had all her jewelry and all of that. And I'm not saying that makes her not spiritual, please. I'm just saying, from where I sit, I wouldn't just class her as a church person right at the first look. But maybe she very well is. And when you look at what the Bible says, it says, my people perish because of a lack of what? Oh, nobody is here today.
Knowledge.
And I look at that and I said, how would that be if we don't have the knowledge? How can we unite? But what I realize is that some people do have knowledge and they still cannot unite because it takes more than just knowing something to have unity. It takes an agreement, a plan. So I intend to ask this evening in my setup, I was going to ask if anybody feel brave enough to say some of the kind of unity that they are in or that they have made or that they are involved with. Hello?
I'm in unity with, first and foremost, the Lord. I would like to think I am. It's a two-way, as you said, it's kind of like an agreement. We have to work together.
Yeah.
And I'm in unity, trying to be, with my husband also.
Oh, okay. And I want to step a little bit outside of that. I am also in agreement with that. I'm in unity with God. And I would want to add that I'm in unity with my wife. Whether she's in unity with me or not, it's not the point. I am in unity with her. I try to make sure whatever I do supports what she's doing. I hope the breeze is not giving her too much fight. Supports what she's doing. But I'm also in unity with the members of the church at Stokey. It's not all the while we look at unity as we must agree. Because unity sometimes comes out of a disagreement. Hello?
Yeah,
I agree.
Hearing you.
Unity sometimes comes out of a disagreement. Because mm-hmm. sometimes it's because of people's disagreement why they get to sit down.
You know you have...
Hello?
Right. You.
Can I continue?
Yes.
All right. You know, sometimes when people disagree and they sit down to talk about their disagreement, it helps them to work on bits and pieces that didn't look right until they become united with the decision that they are taking. So, mm-hmm. for instance, when you look at first two people were kind of mortal enemies. When I was in school with a guy, I never liked bone in the guy. Just because of how he behaved. But gradually after I sit down and talk to him and we've been in class one and class two, I reached third grade. I realized he was my good friend. The reason why we were good friends, I learned some things about him that I didn't know initially, that caused me to think he was very rude and disrespectful. And when I learned that, I realized where he was coming from. And I realized that had it not been for my mother and my father, I would maybe have the same behavior. So I started saying to him, okay, we can share what I bring, we can do some things together, we can go and play football together, even if the other guys don't want to play with us. We'll kick the basketball around and do our own thing. And out of a disagreement between he and I, we became very good friends. And now it's what, about 40 years, and we're still good friends. We're still good friends. Whenever we get the chance, we catch up with each other. He lives now somewhere in California, and I'm living here. But I look at that and I say, God wants us to also be in unity with each other. But the way to get that, the unity that we need for God is not the unity like me and you being friends. Because that breakdown as easy as I said, who that? But with God, the unity is that we need to allow him to take control so that our lives will become patterns of his. Do we agree? Do we agree?
Agreed.
Yes.
Anybody wants to tell me, I'm going to have to bring you into the conversation because it looks like it's me alone out here in the cool breeze, enjoying it. I am bringing everybody into the conversation. I noticed there is Jasmine, Elishima, Galaxy 6A, Natalie, and others. So I'm going to ask somebody to explain to me a time or something that didn't start out as unity, but brought unity that they were involved with.
Hello.
Nobody else is speaking. It's only me speaking, so that's why.
Anything that's adverse.
Are you Lorraine? Oh, she's gone again. All right. In the word, it says, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" Can two people walk together? The Bible tells you this. That
no.
People cannot walk together unless they agree.
But no, they can't.
Walk together unless they agree. What does that mean? Explain that.
Howard, yeah.
Yes.
You know, as in terms of walking together, you know, like when you're doing a three-legged race.
Yeah.
You tie two persons' legs together, but the legs have to face the same direction.
Yeah.
If one leg is facing back and one leg is facing forward, nobody will be able to go either forward or backwards. What will happen is that they'll both fall in the direction that their feet are pointing. The foot is pointing at. And that's why the visual point is there. Two people walking together actually have to face the same direction. Yeah. If they are not facing the same direction, they can't be walking together. A person can't be walking, one person going in one direction and the other person going in the other direction, and we say that they're walking together. In order for them to walk together, they have to face the same direction. They have to be in agreement in the same things. And therefore, you eventually have to come to that realization that in order for us to move forward, we have to face the same direction.
All right. So then there's something has to come in if you and I don't agree on something in order for us to walk together. What is it? Apart from Jesus, let's
compromise.
Know that he has to always be there.
Compromise. Yeah,
we compromise. We have to say, well, you know, I don't like that bit, but I can. All right. Since you will do this, I'll do that. And you know, that is why a lot of the problems are still in the church. A lot of the problems are still in families, because some people, they hold on for their dear life. They will not compromise. And they see compromise as a negative word or a negative action. But it isn't. It isn't a negative action. Where you compromise for peace and for justice in the right way, that's good. Where you compromise just because you don't want the other person to come in, that's not good. Because you compromise and block somebody out of something, because you know that if you don't compromise with this person, that person is going to become a part of it. So it's going to betray you. That's not good. But also in the word, the Bible says, you know, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. How can that be? Hello.
You have to know who.
You have to love your neighbor as yourself. How can that be? I'm slightly different from you.
Yes, I think in as part of loving your neighbor, you have to, as yourself, what you would do for yourself or how you would treat yourself. You would like, you would do that for somebody else. And, you know, sometimes you have to go beyond that as well.
All right. Now, if what was the neighbor is a very difficult neighbor to get along with. As I said, who that him raise his voice? As I said, who that he said, no, I'm not in agreement.
I think you have to think about who. You have to think about who is going to get the more stress. If you're going to have to respond to him every time, then you're creating stress for yourself. And the idea is, you need to have a peaceful life, a peaceful, healthy life. You don't need unnecessary stress. You don't need the stress at all. So. A lot of it has to do with, do you know who you are? If you know yourself, then you'll be able to ignore certain things because you realize that responding to everything is not going to be in your favor. So you get to know who you are. You get to know how you can manage angst or things that can create anxiety or stress in you. And you negotiate, you create a compromise. I don't have to answer to that. I don't have to answer to that. Yes, I can work with this. And you talk. So communication is very important in this unity thing.
Yes, you have to talk to the person. And the next thing about it is sometimes we pick up things that's not really ours. The neighbor is saying it to us, but it's not really us. They're saying it to you. Know. It is just something that is in there that's not in there. And you become the buffer. And sometimes the way to do it is, as you say, just smile. I say, good morning. I don't know if you ever had an experience where somebody just tell you, I don't like you, I don't want you to. But when you keep saying good morning, after a while that person just come around to be your friend and you don't even know how it happened.
Yes, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Anybody ever say sorry random to have in that situation?
Yeah.
Hello?
Where? Yes?
Yes.
Hi, Howard. Good Hello. Evening, everyone. Hi, it's Winston. Good evening. What you're saying, Howard, I was listening, you know, there's a text about dusting off your feet when you leave. Where's that? I think it's in Matthew.
Yeah, dust off your feet.
When you're going to a home, or I think it's one of the prophets. But, you know, you can say good morning to someone forever, and they continue to blank you, not respond, hate you. It doesn't necessarily mean that one day they will, you know, but you're the one at peace, because you are doing what's correct. And I was thinking... Also, I was thinking about this do unto others. Now, twice in the last, say, 5 years, I've lost my wallet full of cards, full of information. And you know, both times they were returned to me. The first time in front of my workplace, someone handed it into a police station. The second time, it was two street drinkers who handed it in to the shop that I was in. When I returned, you know, they had handed it in. And this is two street drinkers. So when I think about do unto others, you know, sometimes we think personal about someone in particular. But with that experience, what do you think would happen if I found someone's wallet full of their details and money in it? Obviously, I'm. You know, I remember, and we should remember how we're treated and how we like to be treated. So I know if I find a wallet and it's full of someone's money and cards, you know, I will do my best to return it to that person because I know from experience how it feels to be that way. So sometimes when we say do unto others, you know, it doesn't have to be. We don't have to think of a particular person. It's just we do what we do through faith. We know what we ought to do. Thou shalt not, etc. And that in itself is doing unto others.
Yeah, but unity. When you look at unity, it don't mean united with only people you know. You can be, you can have unity and peace with somebody you don't know. Because as I said, I was going on the bus today. This lady I really don't know, but I was just strike up a conversation. And from Battersea to where I was going, we had a good conversation about unity and where she's from and all of that. We get into all of that. Just because I asked her a simple question, if somebody said to her, what does she think unity means? What would be her answer? And she said, you and me coming together, or you and I coming together. And I thought that was a very strange answer for a stranger to give me. I'm just...
Hello?
The technical thing is that she was of a different persuasion from me in terms of complexion. So I was expecting her to say, oh, just to get working together or something. Like, I was expecting the normal jargon that we'd have used, but she didn't.
Can I say something?
Yep.
You know, in order to work together, I mumbled it and Winston spoke it out loud. And it basically... just having the same focus, goal, objectives, and your workings become as working as one and not as two separate people.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, because unity, as the word says, is not, when Jesus went about, he didn't know everybody he talked to. He didn't know everybody he went wrong with. Maybe because of who he is, you would have known who they are. But it's not like, okay, I know Mary, so I'm going to go and sit with Mary. I know Tom, so I'm going to go and sit with Tom. You understand? It was any and everybody that was willing to listen, that was willing for them to work together. He was able to, he was more than willing to work. You get what I'm saying?
Hello? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was willing to work with any and everybody. And sometimes the way things happen, I'm trying to get this point across, that it doesn't happen because we were in agreement at first. It happened because we sit down and work through the misunderstanding, the differences, the cultural positions, and all of that in order to come united with what we're about.
It's an ongoing process. It's not something that is signed, sealed, and stamped today, and then that's it.
Doesn't change. It
has to change. It has to be fluid, and there has to be communication.
And unity at the beginning is not unity 5 years later. I don't know if you get me. Unity at the beginning is not unity 5 years later. Because when you and somebody unite at the beginning, you're still on the kind of watching what's going on. You still have your little concerns. You're still not too sure. But as that relationship builds, we get into that. Same with Christ. As we accept him and we come to know him and we get that connection with him, the more we work through it. He knows us. He's not trying to get to know us. We are the one trying to get to know him. And the more we pray, the more we read out the word, the more we share with each other, the more we try to live according to his will, what eventually happened? That changed. And after a while, you don't even have to say to somebody that that's your position. They just see it. You know, they just see it. It just naturally comes out. You understand where am I? Hello? Nobody's talking to me this evening.
I think I've done a lot of talking. What do you mean?
Not you. Not you alone. Not you alone. I see about 8 of us on it. Yeah, but it naturally comes out. All right.
We're listening. It's okay. You have a captive audience. Continue.
Okay. All right. So I'm just saying, as you grow in a relationship, the unity becomes more. And sometimes you see somebody who's married, two people who are married for a long time, they say they look like each other. It's more of how they learn to adapt and work with each other. After a while, the synchronization is so good that people just say, yeah, them two, their wife husband, you can see it. They don't know for sure, you know, but they just by just that, they say, you can see it. or those sort of brother and sister, you can see how them operate. These unit, these things comes because of the relationship we build. And not because my brother and I are blood brothers mean we are going to be always united. You know? But there are certain things that pull us together. As Christians, we might have our differences of opinion. We might have our different way of looking at something. But the end goal that Jesus wants us to have is unity in Him, so that we can share Him with others. And that's how we'd like us to get this evil. Listen.
I'm just thinking that we can only have unity through Christ, because it is Christ who lives with us. And the song says, "Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings." And it's about us representing Christ in our different relationships. So if we have a solid relationship with Jesus, then it will spill over into our relationships with others, so that we will become united with them in whatever we're supposed to be doing with them or for them.
I don't know. Yes, go on.
I agree, because then when you become in unity with Christ, you will be his principles, his values, his attitudes, his belief is what you will begin to manifest in your own life. And yes, that is something that you will be sharing or displaying to others.
Definitely. I don't know if Sonia, I don't know if she knows much about the CB radio in Jamaica. When we used to have our worship in the morning time on CB radio. And there's this lady named Lady, the call sign is called Lady Gorgeous, yeah? And a beautiful lady. But if you see her husband, you'd wonder how the two of them come together. I won't use the word that other people use, but he's not very handsome.
Yeah, but don't forget, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Amen.
Every pot has its lid, is a guy needs saying.
Exactly. But you know what? When she saw him first, she wasn't in agreement with God. You know, she made a deal with God. That, listen, God, I want a husband. And I am going to go to a church. And the first person who comes through that gate, that's my husband. And the first, she came to the church I used to go to first. And the man was never a member of our church. But he turned up. He was the first man. He was there before the deacon.
That was risky.
Opened the gate to let our car in. And she said, "No, Lord, you're joking. This is not what I want." And she has told us this story, so I'm just relating it back. She said, "No, Lord, this is not what I want. You could never be." All right. Okay, Lord. Again, keep it in my mind. I may go have a discussion. So she had the Sabbath at church, and she went away. She decided to leave from Kingston, where she lived, to Montego Bay for church the following Sabbath, because she's putting God to the test. And the gentleman was preaching in Montego Bay at the same church she turned up. And as she drove into the car park, he greeted her. Say, not for me. And she decided the last thing she was going to do, she was going to a seminar, and she was going to go to America. And if she meets somebody there, the first person to meet, that's the person. She's challenging God. But you know, sometimes when we think we know more than God. And so she went to America. And she, you know, got out of the airport, found down a cab, and he found down a cab. Both of them got into the cab. Could we share cabs? And she looked at him and said, "Were you following me around?" And he says, "No, I'm here for a conference." The very conference she was going to is a very conference. Now they have children who are 20 and 20 plus. But the character of the gentleman, this is what I want to say, is so calm and so, for want of a better word, together, that she herself testified that when she saw him first, she never liked him. She couldn't think that God would have given her it, based on how she looked and based on what she was and how long she's in the church. She could not believe that God would have put her in with a man that didn't carry off her looks. That's what she said, exactly. But then after she get to know him, she thanked God endlessly for giving her this husband, more than any other one that would have come, because of his attitude, his everything. And when you now see them, just the way they smile at each other, they walk and they look at each other, you know that there's a connection, there's a unity between those two people. Just that way. But you see, how she started off, she challenged God and God gave her something. She said, "No, God, you couldn't be in your right mind giving me this. It's not going to happen." But then she ended up, now they have big children and all of that. with him, and she's very happy. So you look at it, and you it start out, Rakia, no, I'm not going to go down this road. This could never be the one. But at the end of the day, it is not our call when we trust God and when we depend on God. It is His call. And if we want unity, we have to allow it to be His call. Because if we're making the call for ourselves, we're never always going to make the right one. We're never always going to make the right one. And that challenge would be a problem. Yes.
Howard, sometimes we have to look at the character, huh? But we don't always get the character first. We look at the facial, the outward appearance. But the character really is what carries, isn't it? Ultimately, that makes sense.
Yeah, initially we don't normally get the character.
And I was trying to say before, when you asked about the question you asked, is that sometimes with why this unity, if you haven't got an understanding, but I think you mentioned that about 10 minutes ago, it's understanding. Because if you don't have understanding together, then you can't be in the same thread, really. Yeah?
All right, and that is true. And sometimes, even with our skills and our ability, we have to realize that everyone is different. And for us to be united, we have to be able to adjust our position sometimes to balance off with other people. Because sometimes we want people to come our way, and so we go to witness to somebody and we're trying to tell them, you need to do this. But have we ever sit down and say, how do you feel about so? And how do you feel about, and allow them to give you their perspective and say to them, okay, this is how I manage when I have that kind of stress. Or this is what happened to me and this is what he did for me. So we're actually accepting what they are and working with them.
It takes a lot of work in order to bring about unity. It just doesn't happen overnight.
And I'm happy you said that. As we come to a close-up, if we're going to be united with our people in church, our people around us, our neighbors, our friends, we have to be willing to put in the work. Because guess what happened? When you say to somebody that you want them to do something and they don't know how to do it, you have to realize that you have to teach them. And teaching them don't mean you know more. It just means that you're going to look at what's happening and you're going to evaluate it a little bit more than they would evaluate it. So you're not going to just say, oh, they're not working with me. You're going to look, what could have caused this response? What could have caused that response? What could have caused this disunity? Is it what I said or is it how I said it? Or did I say too early? Or did I say too quick? Or, you know, what could have caused it? You have to start evaluating yourself and learn from that and be willing in this situation to bring unity, to apologize and to say, well, I'm sorry. I think I went off too quick on that one. Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Yes, so once we come to this point that we have to be the one doing the work, we have to be the one stepping a little bit more out of our comfort zone to bridge a gap between somebody we want to be the unity of Christ with, then we have to be prepared that we have to go the extra mile. We have to go and buy the book and give it to them free of cost. When they would never have bought it, but they will take it if you give it to them. We have to be the one to say, listen, would you like this or would you like me to help you with that? When they would have not asked you anyway, but you can see that the need. We have to be the one to say to ourselves, listen, let me just let this person realize that they can come to me and talk to me about anything. And the way I'm going to do that is not just saying it, but they come and they say, oh, man, this talks to you. Oh, okay, fine. I don't know if you have the time. You have the time. You have to make that time. Because that person wants to know Christ. That person wants to come. But the way they're going to do this is to trust you first. And they have to talk to you. Or they want to talk to you about something. Sometimes it's not even something that they don't know the answer to. You know. It is just that they want to test the water. They want to see how solid you are in holding on to information before they get into anything with you. And we tonight have to realize that to unite as a church, we have to also internally, we have to work with those who are a little bit more difficult to reach out to than others, even within the faith. And a lot of time we looked at saying unity as we unite with new people coming in, but we have to also remember to unite with those who are constantly in the faith and have held some position which we might not hold on to, or have pushed out some position which we might believe is genuinely something to hold on to. And there's a way to bridge a gap to bring those two things together. And when the person realizes that you're genuinely doing it, not to show them off or not to say that you know more, or not to say you are better, they will eventually adapt. So as we close, let us remember that we have to ask God to show us how to be united. Can I have somebody praying for us on that turf? Hello. Can I have a
let us pray. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you for your love and your tender mercy towards us. I want to thank you for the time that you have allowed us to be able to meet on this forum and to talk about coming together and being united so that together we can fulfill what you want us to do. Dear Jesus, we ask you to help us to be patient and loving and kind. We ask you to help us to mirror you, not because we can do it of ourselves, but because we are putting our hands in your hands and looking to you to guide us. So Lord, today we commit ourselves to you and we commit ourselves to unity. We ask you to help us to fully understand that it means that we have to submit ourselves to you so that you can live out your life in us, so that we can walk and talk and think and be like you, so that our interactions with others will not bring division, but will bring togetherness and unity and peace and love. Lord, we ask you to help us not to just speak the words, but to live the life. And we ask you to help us to fully understand what we are getting ourselves into so that we will not decide to turn and stop, but we will continue, knowing that we are not doing this on our own, but that with you all things are possible. And we thank you that you'll never give up on us. And we thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, but that you will be with us even when it seems that we are going through the valley of the shadow of death. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for all the homes that are represented on this forum at this time. We ask that as we welcome the Sabbath, that we will be united in our homes and united as a people who believe in you and in your words. May we have a truly wonderful Sabbath. May we be blessed with your Holy Son in our lives, and may we be drawn really closer to you. Please be with those who are unwell. We ask that you will give them peace and remove their pain and take away anxiety from them. Be with the family members that are caring for them and allow them to be comforted by your presence, knowing that you are on the case. Be with those who may be going through different struggles at this time, dear Lord, and we ask you to help them to claim the promises that you have given them. And help them to remember where you have brought them from and where you are with them now. And the fact that you have good plans for them. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can call upon your name in freedom. Help us not to take it for granted. And help us to use this time, Lord, to learn more about you and to build our spiritual lives so that when we come through this COVID-19 situation, we'll be much stronger as individuals and as a people, your people, and as a church family. Thank you for hearing us. We give you all the honor and the glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen.